You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you so much for joining me as we are embarking on the book of John. And so what I've done in the last broadcast and continuing throughout this month is like a mini Bible study. If you've never opened up the Bible, well, here's an opportunity to join us and read along scripture and have some understanding, although it may be a little sort of a quick overview of the book, Gospel of John, but you know, maybe it might be something that you might consider in attending a Bible study somewhere in your parish, or you can join other parishes and via Zoom. So it's amazing, you know. So it's a wonderful introduction. And usually, when you haven't opened up a Bible, if you would like to read through Scripture, one of the suggestions is always starting off with the Book of John. And also, I would encourage you to read the Psalms. And the Psalms are extremely helpful. And here's one little key thing. If you have a Bible, here's one thing you should always do. If you're going to leave your Bible, never leave it closed in your home. All right? Keep your Bible open, and you try, and if you can, turn to Psalm 91. It's a protection prayer. And I will be honest, the evil one hates it. So open it up to Psalm 91. And leave it open either next to your bedside, on a coffee table, in the kitchen, wherever you have a Bible. Don't leave your Bibles closed. Leave it open and leave it at Psalm 91. And that is a little suggestion for you, okay? So never keep your Bible closed, all right? All right. So let's begin. As I was saying to you, we were finishing just quickly, chapter 3, and I'm just going to read from Scripture because I really think it's very important. I mean, it's one thing to talk about the Scripture, but it's another to read it. So I'm just looking at John chapter 3, it's verse 31. So go to that if you haven't already, and we're just going to read, I'll read to you till the end of chapter 3, so which is 31 to 36. So, okay, six verses. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. Here's the key. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted his testimony has certified this, that God is true. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has placed all things in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath. All right, so now a little bit of a a little bit of a warning, right? So anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment, okay? So chapter 4, Jesus and the woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way, and eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was so surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." "I know the Messiah is coming," said the woman, "the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." And just then the disciples returned. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or why are you even talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man," she said, "who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" But Jesus replied to the disciples who had urged him to eat, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike." many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because of we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." At the end of the 2 days, Jesus went on to Galilee, and he himself had said that a prophet is not honored in his own hometown. And yet the Galileans welcomed him, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen everything he did there. So, I'm sorry, that was my little finger. So, I want you to turn to your Bible and turn to verse 46. Then he came to Cana in Galilee, where he changed the water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. It was his faith, brothers and sisters. It was the official's faith that healed his son. Because through the will of God, through the grace of God, that little boy lived because of his faith, that he knew Jesus could heal. He knew that. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover, and they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed along with his whole household. And now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. So I'm just going to refer to my notes here, right? Yes. Okay, so that's the second miraculous sign that Jesus did. And of course, you know, brothers and sisters, Jesus heals. He healed thousands of years ago. He healed last year. He heals during pandemics, before pandemics, every time, every day. There is miracles happening all the time, brothers and sisters. And you know something, brothers and sisters? We have to understand that God is active in our lives. If we'd only pay attention, we need to really open our eyes and pay attention to our own life and see all the little things that happen in our life that we say, you know, I am aware that you become very acutely aware of how God is working in your life. And it can be the smallest of things. A headache that doesn't want to go away, but somehow does one day. A pain that you might have encountered for a week. And all of a sudden, you're praying and you're leaving it in God's hands. And all of a sudden, you're not even aware that the pain is even gone. Brothers and sisters, I know in my own life, time and time and time and time and time again, how I see the miracles that happen in my life, the graces that God has given me. And I hope, I really hope that you are seeing the many graces that God has showered you in your life and will continue to grace, give you those graces. If you believe in him, if you trust in him and say, Jesus, Abba, I trust in you. I trust in you, Jesus. Wounds of Christ, I trust in you. Wounds of Christ, I trust in you. Precious blood of Jesus, I trust in you. If you really believe, miracles happen, healing happens, brothers and sisters. Remember, it's according to his will and not according to ours. And if you pray and you're saying, but Christina, it's been so long, then just keep on praying. Don't stop. Don't give up. Because you know who wants you to give up. That evil thing wants you to give up. He wants you to stay, separate yourself from God. Okay? Remember when I talked to you about Job? Same thing. I mean, he could have. I mean, he lost his family, for goodness sakes. And forget the many things he had and the animals he had and the wealth he had. But to lose his family, his children, that must have been excruciating. That would have been, and you know what? The evil one made a bargain with God. You know, he said, you know what? I don't believe that your Job here is all that faithful. What if we take away everything from him and we'll just see how faithful that you claim he is? And Jesus knew. He said, yeah, go ahead. And allowed the devil to come in and take away everything. But Job was strong in his faith, and he accepted it. It wasn't easy. He's a human being. But he trusted God. And because of that trust and that faith in Jesus, that God rewarded him tenfold, rewarded him with so many children and so much wealth. He gave him a beautiful life. So, brothers and sisters, that's what separates us sometimes from healing, our lack of faith in God, that we think, well, but God is doing all kinds of things in our life all the time, and we just sometimes we walk around with one eye closed. We're not really paying attention. And when you wake up in the morning, you should, I mean, even myself, I need to thank God and say, you know, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm awake. Thank you that I'm standing up. Thank you that my prosthetic leg has lasted so many years. I'm so grateful, brothers and sisters. I'm so grateful that, yeah, I know the weather isn't great. I know the pandemic is still with us. But it's according to God's will. All we ask is let it be according to God's will. Right? Our Blessed Mother said that. When she saw that, when the angel Gabriel came to her, and she said, so be it. Yes, according to God's will, let it be. Let it be according to his will. She had that kind of faith, that kind of faith that is so strong that nothing can weaken it. We have to be strong in our faith. We have to trust God more and more than we ever thought possible. Right? So, brothers and sisters, I'm so glad that you're with me, and I'm hoping that through the Gospel of John and through the, you know, readings that I'm giving you in terms of scripture and of background, that it encourages you, strengthens you, and helps you believe that in everything and anything, God is with us. In everything and anything, God is with us all the time, and he's been with us before we were even born into our mother's womb. God called us, brought us to this earth. God knows who we are, brothers and sisters, and he loves you. He loves us just the way we are. Yeah, we're not perfect, right? But you know what? In God's eyes, we are so perfect and so loved. The evilness in the world around us wants us to doubt ourselves, wants us to look at ourselves in the mirror and says, oh, I don't like my hair. Oh, it's too curly. Oh, it's too straight. Oh, I'm too big. Oh, I'm too thin. Oh, I got too many freckles. all of this nonsense. But God doesn't look at you like that. We do that to ourselves. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants us to look at ourselves because we are God's children. We belong to Him, and He belongs to us. So, brothers and sisters, cheer up. Make your life and help yourself and let go of your own self, of that selfishness in ourselves, self-centeredness, and reach out to God and let God be your focus. Let God be at the top of the triangle. We are at the bottom of the triangle, but God is our focus. God is our star. That's where we must look up to. So we now read about Jesus and the Samaritan woman, about how Jesus healed the official's son, right? And now we come to chapter 5. And chapter 5, even Jesus heals on the Sabbath, right? So that was quite a stir, you know, because on the Sabbath you weren't, you know, it's a day of rest, and Jesus is healing people, and he was being questioned for that. So afterwards, let me just check my time. Okay. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days, and inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches, crowds of sick people, blind and lame and paralyzed. They just lay on the porches, right? They just lay on the porches. And so one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, and he knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders were all really angry. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So then, of course, the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. All right, so I'm going to find that for you on the authority of the Son. So let me see if I can find it for you. So here, chapter 5, verse 22. "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come from under judgment, but has passed from death to life." So this was, again, you know, for them to see that who is the authority here. All right, so let me continue. Yep, so I'll continue here. All right, so off he goes. So, for he not only broke Jesus, so all the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill Jesus, right? For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself," right? "Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For and I just read you the scripture, for the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And then he said, And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son, and he has given authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, listen, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son and they will rise again. And that's what we say. I believe in God, the life of the, right, the resurrection and the life. We say that at the end of our prayer through the Nicene Creed. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. So, the Father who has sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. Because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Your approval means nothing to me. This is what he's saying to the rabbis, because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Yet it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? And then, of course, the classic chapter 6 that we will get into of feeding the 5,000. So, brothers and sisters, I love verse 28 of chapter 5. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all those who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Right? Brothers and sisters, it's a thrill sharing the Gospel of John with you. And we will touch on chapter 8, on chapter 6, on the next time we are together. God bless you and thank you again. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Bye.